This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady's in the gun. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in Minnesota to take on the Vikings.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Week number two, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. The Patriots on the road for their matchup today against the Minnesota Vikings. That is who they have, coming off a loss in week one to the Dolphins. Welcome to the program, everybody. We're here for the next couple of hours getting ready for the game. The phone number for you, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. If you want to get us on the phones, that's the North American toll-free number, the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also reach us at 508-298-0398. On the web, email webradio@patriots.com. And if you're on Twitter or any other social media this morning, make sure you are using the hashtag PPGS as you get ready for the game. Be social with us this morning here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Curious to get your thoughts on this game. I'm Mark Bertrand, joined alongside Paul Perillo. Andy Hart will be joining us momentarily here on the show. There was a lot of news in the NFL this week, a lot that went on between the start of the week and the Ray Rice situation, and the week was capped with the Adrian Peterson situation. On this program, we would prefer to keep it related to today's game, which is our purpose in being here, and one of those situations does affect today's game, and that is Adrian Peterson dealing with his legal issues related to this child abuse case that came out on Friday. He is not playing this weekend, and that is what concerns us for this game. And in fact, it is potentially a huge break for the Patriots in this game, in a football sense, that Adrian Peterson, Paul, won't be on the field today.
I don't see how you can look at it any other way. I mean, I think the one way that, to me, going into the game, Minnesota had a chance of hanging around was by controlling the ball, dominating the time of possession, running the football effectively, as was the case last week for Miami against the Patriots. They were able to run the ball. Adrian Peterson being able to run the ball was Minnesota's ticket today, and I think with his deactivation went the Vikings' chances of pulling an upset.
Given everything that happened in last week's game against Miami, the way Miami was able to run the ball, the way the Patriots got beat at the line of scrimmage, I think we still have those concerns going into week number two.
Yep, I agree.
And those are things we'll be, you know, kind of keying in on and watching closely as this week and maybe some future weeks as well. But I thought Minnesota had a chance to be competitive in this game coming into the week. I really did too. And I thought the Patriots would win this game, especially coming off their loss in week one and making some adjustments this week. But I no longer believe that they can be, I don't know, I don't want to say can't be competitive because you never know, but I'll just tell you, I've lost a lot of faith in their ability to keep this a close game.
Yeah, I'm with you because I felt like the reasons Minnesota could be competitive are not there now. I mean, I think that it would be one thing to have Adrian Peterson and then you mix in Cordero Patterson in some different ways. Well, now I think that you become much more focused on Patterson, which I think would probably limit his effectiveness. And now you're dealing with guys, and we're going to get into some of these names here as we go. Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon, some of the backup running backs that Minnesota has, not exactly household names. I think your task of being able to hold those guys in check becomes infinitely easier and puts more of the burden on a limited passing game with Matt Cassel. I'm with you, Beadle. I thought there were some things to worry about on both sides of the ball, controlling the lines on both sides, heading into the game. There's still concerns to me. I still want to see how the Patriots respond physically on both sides of the ball, but I don't think that they have Minnesota. I don't think they have the individuals to really make the Patriots pay.
I think what we look at now is Cordero Patterson. Based on his week one, he had three catches last week, 26 yards receiving, but he was used on these sweep plays and had a long touchdown on one of them. The Vikings won in week one. 34-6 was the final score in that game. And so this week, Norv Turner, offensive coordinator for the Vikings, was asked about the potential for those plays to be used going forward. How are they going to use Patterson? He said, quote, "Those plays, I think, when they happen, are exciting, and they're great. You can't count on those," he said. "A guy like Cordarrelle is capable of doing that with his physical ability." It sounds like it was something that they kind of broke out in week one. I'm curious to see how much they use that today and how creative – I can't believe I'm using the word creative with Norv Turner, but how
I think
how
Norv
much
Turner,
they're willing to, I don't know, take some risks, get creative, do some things outside the box to try and, you know, create some offense without AP on the field.
Yeah, well, you know, you bring up Norv Turner, and he's a guy I think that has given the Patriots some problems as a coordinator. I thought last year in Cleveland was an example of that. With, I mean, I understand that you had a couple of quality performances. You had Josh Gordon, and you had Jordan Cameron, who had really good days. But yet Jason Campbell throwing the ball. Matt Castle's better than that. Matt Castle's a better quarterback than Jason Campbell. And I thought that he did some nice things in that game, mixing things up with no running game really to speak of. And Cleveland really was in position to win that game, if not for not being able to recover an onside kick. So the Norv Turner part of it is not as much of a joke to me. Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator, is not a joke. Norv Turner, the head coach, to me, is a joke. So I sort of separate the two. But I think it gets back to your original point. You have those kinds of trick plays with Patterson, and I do call them trick plays, much like the jet sweeps that they ran with Julian Edelman. You're not relying on that as a staple of your offense all the time. The best you can have happen is sort of turn Patterson into like a Percy Harvin and maybe try to get him the ball 8, 10, 12 times every game somehow, whether it's as a receiver or as a runner. I just don't know how good of a receiver he is yet to take advantage of, you know, force feeding the ball that often.
You know, I bring it up because I think a lot of hype has been surrounding Patterson since the preseason. He was
big
on
play
the field.
Guy.
Yeah.
Big play.
I mean,
guy.
He was on the field for more than 95% of the first team offense snaps. Actually, I think it was all but two snaps with the first team offense in the preseason. And last year, they used him some as a receiver, but he was more of he really made his mark on special teams, and that's how he made the Pro Bowl, was right. As a returner, not as a receiver. So I just think there's a lot of hype around this player. I'm curious to see if the hype matches what he can do on the field this year. And obviously we're only in week two, and this clearly will have an impact on the Patriots today. I'm very curious to see what this guy can really be as a receiver.
It is hype as a receiver.
It
You're
is. I mean,
right.
He had three catches last week.
He's not a polished receiver yet. He's not. And listening to some people from Minnesota talk about him, he's still not a really defined route runner. He's got good size, good strength, and great speed. So if he can get the ball in his hands, he can make big plays. And that's why they're handing the ball to him, because they see what he did as a returner last year. And then they said, we got to find ways. He's not a great receiver yet, so we got to find ways to get the ball to him without having to rely on him going out and catching it.
Also, as we keep in the same vein of coordinators, Mike Zimmer, last year, the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. We know the difficult day that the Patriots had in Cincinnati last year. This year, he's now with the Minnesota Vikings. As Bill Belichick said this week, maybe Mike Zimmer will be Xeroxing his game plan from that game last year in Cincinnati for this year as he takes him on with the Vikings. What's going to be the difficulties for the Patriots on offense today going up against Mike Zimmer?
Well, I think that a lot of the stuff that we talked about last week, the Vikings, and I know they played an inferior opponent in St. Louis, and not a really good team playing with a backup quarterback, and then ultimately with a third string quarterback. But they get after the passer. They have a lot of different guys up front. They don't have a Cameron Wake, I don't think, but they had five sacks last week. Everson Griffin had two of them. He is the guy that lines up at right end that Nate Solder will probably be seeing. For the majority of the game, and they also like to rotate a lot of bodies on that defensive line. So I think that's a big part of the way I think Zimmer, he doesn't have the same talent that he had in Cincinnati. I don't want to, this is not the same thing here. Cincinnati's got a very gifted defensive roster, and I don't think that that's the case for Minnesota, but I think they want to play the same kind of way. They don't want to expose themselves with a lot of blitzes, but they want to generate pressure with their front four, and they want to tackle. And that was the case for Miami last week. They didn't do a lot of blitzing. They just tackled.
When we're looking at the Patriots offense based on last week, I'm not sure if we talked about this or how much we did talk about it in the postgame last week. The Patriots, in terms of their commitment to the run in that game, did you feel like they needed to run the ball more in that game? Do you feel like they're going to make more of a commitment to it this week?
I think they need to do better. They need to run the ball more effectively. I don't think that they ran it too infrequently. I think that what happens, I thought they were pretty balanced in the first half. And then you come out in the second half and you go three and out. And then you fumble, or you know, I might be mixing up the order. They might have fumbled on their first drive and then went three and out. So all of a sudden, your plays are down. You know, so now all of a sudden, you go from having a 10-point lead to finding yourself in a tie game. You're trying to change momentum. You run on first down, you get nothing. Well, now you're throwing the next two, and you're going three and out, and now all of a sudden, it looks like you're way out of whack. But they didn't run the ball effectively. I mean, I think Stephen Ridley averaged less than 3 yards a carry in that game. They need more out of him. They need more out of the offensive line. I mean, we can talk about all the different skill position guys, but it all starts with those guys up front. They didn't do the job last week opening holes or protecting Tom Brady.
Now, there was a slight glimpse at the offensive line and team drills at the start of a practice this week. I believe it was Wednesday that happened. Is that going to be the same offensive line this week as it was last week?
Well, that's what it looked, and I would say with Ryan Wendell out, you know, you have a good chance of going with the start. The only question to me would be, are you going to replace Devy with Klein, right? So I don't know the answer to that, but they're going to need somebody to play because Wendell's not going to be able to play. So it's either going to be one of those two guys, Devy or Klein, and my guess is they would stick with Devy.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you, 855-PATS-500, emails at webradio@patriots.com. Andy Hart will be joining us in just a couple of minutes, and we will get to the keys to the game. But before we do that, let's go to the phones and start with John in L.A. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well.
Good. I have a concern about the game, which is that nothing good can come from it, because if we win without Adrian Peterson, it tells me nothing. And if we lose, it tells me everything. I mean, it's really bad. I think we're going to win, but it's a little tense-making.
It is one of those kind of shaping up to be one of those no-win situations for the Patriots.
Right.
I would agree with that.
I'm disappointed that Jamie Collins isn't playing, because he's so rare, especially lately, on defense for this game, because it's fun to have a guy who's athletic, who's fast, and it's disappointing that he's out.
Yeah, I don't know that I was overly impressed with Jamie Collins week number one. I don't think many people were. But the fact that he's out led me to believe that we were going to see some Darius Fleming, Paul. But Darius Fleming was cut by the team last night, so we will not be seeing any Darius Fleming in this game today because he's no longer with the Patriots, at least for the time being.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that, but you know, maybe they feel like Skinner is more of a run-stopping linebacker and Fleming is more of an edge kind of guy. I don't know what the rationale is behind that, but we didn't see much of Skinner because he spent most of the summer on NFI, so I couldn't really tell you exactly what kind of player he is.
Something to watch for in today's game, how they look up front in terms of also, Paul, 3-4, 4-3, what's the defensive front going to look like in this game?
And depending on that, what personnel did they use? I mean, if you want to go 3-4, I would hope it's not, again, with Chandler Jones as one of the three. You know, let's make him one of the four and put some bigger bodies up front.
Let's go to Justin. He's in Virginia today. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. Two things I was worried about. One, I was worried about Darrell Revis. Is he going to, well, to a Hall of Fame standard, I think he sucked last game. Do you think he's going to play better, or do you have any explanation for how he played week one?
I think that's a little strong to say that he sucked last week, and I understand what you're saying to a Hall of Fame level, and I agree with you. I grade him on a curve. I agree with you. I was a little more critical of his play last week than most of my colleagues were, who seemed to point out that he only had Mike Wallace five times in the game. I thought I saw way more than that. And I was a little surprised that, to me, sort of a one-trick pony type receiver like Wallace was able to effectively get open consistently throughout the day. So I agree with you. I don't think he played all that well. That said, Darrell Revis is well down on my list of potential things to worry about. I don't think he was great in the first week, but I think he was okay, and I think he'll get better. And I think that as Belichick gets more used to having this guy, I think you're going to see him locking down a little bit more often And Bill, I think, can be a little stubborn with some of those things. And I think he's going to see, like, this, the best way to use this guy is just to let him go. And I think we'll see that more and more as the weeks go on.
Let's get the latest on the line for this game. We go to our guy, Jeff, in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well. What's up, man?
Yeah, when first Brady gets hurt, like, late in the week, last week, does anyone know what happened to Collins or how he bruised his thigh? It seems like it did happen in practice.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that you can surmise is that he practiced on Wednesday. He was at it on Thursday. So he must have gotten injured in practice on Thursday.
Yeah, that's again, just sort of blindsided coming out of nowhere. For this game, I would think hopefully Belichick and the Patriots can handle Matt Castle, you would think. Right, presumably?
I'm sorry, I missed that last part. As Andy came in, he was trying to gesture, and I missed something. Matt Castle?
No, saying, yeah, the Matt Castle matchup, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, Belichick obviously, you know, has some things cooked up on defense to neutralize him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure you have to go out of your way to find some things to neutralize Matt Castle. I think you just sort of make him throw. Make him beat you from the pocket and, you know, prove that he can complete passes. I think Tannehill struggled in that department last week. I think that he hit some, but he missed so many others. I think that you sort of just let Matt Castle be Matt Castle and take your chances.
Yeah, and regarding the line movement, it was kind of interesting. It was New England, you know, -3, of course, until the Peterson thing came out. Then it jumped up to Patriots -6. Now it's down to Patriots -4.5, and it looks like a lot of gamblers like me, I had New England big at -3, so I'm trying to middle it, taking Minnesota, getting 6, and that seems to be what we're just pushing it down from 6 to back to 4.5.
Okay.
All right, then.
So, with that.
With it.
Go, Kevin, to the Jeff and Vegas Smart Money. Play of the week.
Heavens to Betsy!
All right, a couple things. Apparently it's 54 degrees with no humidity in Minnesota from what I hear.
Yeah, it's a nice fall day.
Yeah, and we know the Patriots usually don't lose 2 in a row. I think Brady might have something to prove. I think Belichick will be prepared. Hopefully the Vikings, you know, are feeling a little bit off with the media circus there. So let's go New England big. Give the 4.5, take the Pats. Lock it in.
All right.
Later.
Lock it in.
See Agreed,
later, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
855-PATS-500 is
so. If he was going to take the Patriots and lay the 4.5, what was all the talk about the middling about?
I don't know. I never know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, I think.
No, I knew what he was talking about. He had the Patriots -3, and then it went to 6, and he was trying.
Took the Vikings.
So he was going to take the Vikings to try to, you know, play the middle, and then he ends up. Taking him anyway.
Did he say he was doing that, or a lot of people?
Well, that's
were,
what, yeah, he, oh, he said he was doing it.
I just
so
like
the 6 is different than 4.5. I mean, what's the difference?
Let's read some of these emails coming in. As
yeah, there's a lot of complaints via Twitter that you don't read enough emails.
Well, we got like 200 emails last week after the game, and we're trying to.
I think you pulled a Fred and said we got a lot of emails, instead of just reading the emails.
Well, trying to host the program and also read emails is not easy, Andy. It's not
I've
easy.
Done it without. You know, much trouble many times in the past.
Kenny in Virginia writes, good morning, gentlemen. Hope Double D's provided you with something besides their name to use for the sponsorship. They, in fact, did.
They did.
They did.
PPGS runs on Dunkin'.
We run on Dunkin'.
Paul stole the coffee cake muffin before I got to the box. Beat me to the box.
I didn't realize it was yours.
You know what I had this morning? Pumpkin muffin. That's where it's at.
I heard you specifically requested it.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were allowed to put in specific requests.
Well, you know, if you...
I'm not high maintenance. I just take
it. If you put in
here.
A request with the person going to get the order, it doesn't...
Whatever Kevin gets is fine with me.
If they're going for an order and you want something...
I'm going to put in a request for whatever quirky thing is... Whatever they're advertising, I want to try every time. If it's like lemon meringue pie donut, key lime donut, whatever coffee... Whatever they have on a poster when you walk in the door, I want one of those.
Well, they're very big on the pumpkin right now. Pumpkin is back, and they're very big on it at Dunkin' Donuts.
Didn't take him long to get the show off the rails, did he?
Yeah, no. Not only
comes in, he's gesturing wildly.
Well, just
I think there's a haze in the air in here.
There's a haze
in
the air.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll
now
be
you
fine.
Have me worried. If you guys don't see the haze, that it's me that's seeing a haze, and it's just me.
You should go get checked.
I don't know.
Kenny had a quick question in regards to Bolden. He said, like Andy, I don't see the fascination with this guy. He is a jag of all jags. Good for nothing outside of keeping the bench warm. These are harsh words. The only reason I see keeping him around is being a true backup to Ridley. But in all honesty, why not just bring the law firm back and cut this bum? Am I missing something on this guy? Great work, fellas. You're the best media has to offer. And I haven't missed a show in 6 years.
Wow.
More Andy and Paul, less Erica.
Evil laughs.
Good stuff, Kenny.
I'm not a huge Boulder.
What is the deal? But what is the deal with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? He hasn't found a home yet.
He's a Jag running back who will get signed when somebody has injuries or issues at the position.
Yeah, and I think that they probably look at it, and I don't know for sure, but, you know, as a backup running back, Bolden does play special teams, and I'm not sure Benny has that in his skill set. I don't know how much special teams he's played in the past. Maybe that's it for a backup, but I'd still rather have Green Ellis around. Last year, Blunt was really, he was a kick returner, but I don't think he was a special teamer per se. So I think they had a backup running back that didn't provide a lot on the core special teams either, so I would bring him back. I would make that move.
Travis in Tennessee writes, I noticed during the game last Sunday that Brady had a bloody knuckle on his right hand when he was on the sideline. Did any of you notice that? And do you think that is why he had gloves on during his press conference earlier in the week?
I know a lot of people pose that he could have hurt his hand when he punched Gronkowski celebrating the touchdown, so I don't know. That is certainly a reason why he may have had gloves on. We certainly questioned that when it happened, when he came to the podium in street clothes and football gloves and claimed it was because he was catching passes in a walkthrough.
Cody writes, I'm hoping the Pats go back to a 4-3 defense because last week was just painful to watch. Hoping to see Revis play as a top corner this week as well. He wasn't signed to be an average player.
Now, will people be happy if it's 3-4 with Jones at Chris Jones at end and Chandler Jones at linebacker?
I would be. I threw that out there earlier.
I'm sure I will be.
3-4. If you're going to play 3-4, just as long as Chandler Jones is one of the four, not one of the three.
I don't think Villano and Jones are any great shakes as.
Yeah, but at least you have some bigger players. I mean,
you can watch them get pushed around.
Yeah, well, not like Chandler Jones did last week at 265 pounds. It was a physical mismatch. He was not competitive, and I didn't really think
Villano was that competitive.
Yeah, I thought it was more to the left. I mean, that's just my opinion, but you might be right too.
There's no question that if I were running, I would have run towards Chandler Jones, but I would also keep running at Chris Jones and Joe Villano until somebody.
And the other part, Beetle, before we move on, when we're talking about the line, you're asking me. I should bring up Brian Stork as a possibility, and I don't know that he's going to be active, but. You know, maybe he is ready to get into the mix and get some reps at center, and they keep Conley at guard. And it's not about just Devy or Klein. You know, that's the line that I think that they're going to go with is the one that they started with last week. But maybe Brian Stork is ready to, you know, fight his way into the lineup and get into the picture a little bit.
It is week number two. Patriots take on the Vikings today. It's time to get to the keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
Week number two, Patriots 0-1 going up against the 1-0 Minnesota Vikings this afternoon. No Adrian Peterson for the Vikings in this game. What are the keys to today's game? Andy, you want to start with you?
Sure.
Want to go ahead?
Pass protection. You know, I think obviously the keys on defense were going to be the front, the run defense. That is sort of negated by Adrian Peterson being inactive. They do have a pass rush. They do have Mike Zimmer, who wants to get after it a little bit. Everson Griffin kind of going down the Vince Wilfork. You know, we talked about Vince became a leader once they paid him to be a leader. Well, I'm thinking that Everson Griffin might become a dominant pass rusher because they paid him to be a dominant pass rusher, gave him $42 million this offseason, moved him over to the right side in the Jared Allen spot, and he had 2 sacks on opening day. So Nate Solder, there's your challenge. Backside, you have Robeson, sort of an underrated player. Sebastian Vollmer, there's your challenge. And middle of the field, guys like Linval Joseph, Sharif Floyd. The offensive line, to me, is where it starts. If Brady is hurried and hit like last week, then we won't be able to say, well, Brady bounced back and Gronk bounced back. It all starts up front.
Yeah, I think Andy, just the same one as last week, I think Andy's got the one that I think would stand out above all the rest. With Peterson out, you know, just to look for something different, with Peterson out, obviously that would have been a focus of the defense. Now I think it's taking away big plays because I don't see them being able to sustain long drives the way that Miami did last week without Peterson there to sort of carry the load. So let's get back to the cliche of Patterson. Let's not let him shake free and make some big plays. I don't think he's a polished receiver yet, so I don't look at him as a guy – that's going to be able to do what Mike Wallace did last week and catch three or four passes on a drive to get you down the field. Take the big one away. Watch him out of the backfield. Make sure that you don't let any 50, 60-yard runs happen.
Yeah, not any of these stupid end-around type plays that all of a sudden, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson is gone down the field. I think Tom Brady's a huge key today. He needs to play a lot better than he did last week, a lot better than he did a week ago, because in this game today is a chance for this offense to get back on track, in my mind, against Minnesota, even though it is a Mike Zimmer coach defense, all of that coming into play. Tom Brady, to me, is a huge key today. He's got to be a lot better. A lot better. Last week scared me just a little bit with Tom Brady.
Well, he's healthy now. Not on the injury report.
Yeah. I mean, healthy. As far as we know.
Well, he's not healthy. On the injury report, and that's what we go by.
Because he has bloodied knuckles now, though. So.
Bloody
covers
knuckles.
Those up.
What's going on with the calf? We're going to have to watch for that.
No, he's fine. He's not on the injury report. He didn't miss practice. Of course, Alphonso Dennard wasn't on the injury report, and he apparently was a game-time decision working out on the field, so... You telling me those injury reports aren't quite the Bible I treat them as?
I am telling you,
no,
they
Eric,
not,
they're not. They're
actually,
not
I think as... they are the Bible. I think that's actually a good comparison.
Yeah. They're not. Let's
no
not,
one knows what the
you
hell
know
the
what?
Bible
let's,
says.
Let's not get into that discussion today, Andy.
I prefer if
we just leave that one alone, and you could just keep those opinions to yourself on this Sunday morning.
Well, we've had so much lately about child abuse and drug use and domestic violence. I thought we should just bring religion into the discussion.
Why not? You know, let's just bring one more topic into the program that is not related to football.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm ready to go there.
Yeah, exactly. Stay away from Andy on this one. That's what I would say.
Ah, you wuss.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. What are some of your keys to today's game, Patriots-Vikings? Coming up with a 1 o'clock kickoff. Let's go back to the phones and go to Felix in Chelsea. Hey, Felix.
The cat. Hey, how you doing today, gentlemen?
Sup?
All right, all right.
All right.
Hey, man, all week I'm like, oh, man, we have to stop, you know, Adrian Peterson. We have to stop Adrian Peterson just because.
They stopped him.
Dating back from last year, like, we can't stop the run. So the excitement is still there because obviously the Patriots are playing, but. AP's not there. So what's our focus today? I'm not sure if someone answered that question today, but what's our main focus just because that run game has completely disappeared?
Mine defensively, and I know Paul talked about big plays. That's obvious when, you know, an underdog. That's how an underdog can win is big plays, is Kyle Rudolph. He's still, I think that's an interesting factor. And you remember Jamie Collins isn't playing, and lately they've been basically telling Jamie Collins to do a bulk of the work against receivers in the middle of the field, even to the point where he's 20, 25 yards downfield. Who is going to fill that role if the linebackers are involved? And then obviously you look to the safety position, and we've talked about Patrick Chung and Daron Harmon and Tavon Wilson. And, you know, if Tavon Wilson or Patrick Chung are involved intimately with Kyle Rudolph, I don't like that matchup, and I think that could be a problem in the middle of the field.
Yeah, that's a good one. The tight ends, we've talked about it all summer. It was one of the things that Andy and I focused on during the preseason broadcasts. Still seems to be some openings there in the middle of the field, and Kyle Rudolph is a pretty good receiver.
And Matt Cassel's not a stiff.
No, Matt Cassel will make the right plays, too. I don't think that you're going to have him throw the ball to the wrong team five times, you know, like some of these guys that sort of self-destruct.
He generally, remember when he had that great year in Kansas City? The biggest part of it was he had no turnovers. He and the Chiefs in general were able to keep turnovers at ridiculously low numbers, and then I think they crapped themselves when they got to the postseason and had five in the first week or whatever it was. But, you know, that's, and we talked about last week, the Patriots, the one thing on defense that you could point to is they won the turnover battle. They forced or took advantage of some opportunities to get their hands on the ball, but you may or may not have that chance today.
I would also say this. I know that Adrian Peterson is not going to play in this game today, but I also wouldn't write off Matt Asiata in this game.
No, he's dominant.
He's a bigger back, right? I mean, he's
235.
Yeah. 235. He's got some size. Last year he had 3 touchdowns in week 15 against the Eagles, and then he played in week 17, 14 carries in that game for 115 yards. He's in his third year in the league, so he's not Adrian Peterson or anything close to Adrian Peterson, but
he's not even Noshon Marino.
He can still take the ball and run it. And he's a bigger physical back, and he could probably take a little bit of a beating. So
if he runs all over them, that's bad.
Well, the Miami Dolphins as a team ran all over them last week.
No, but Noshon Marino is
– I know
Noshon Marino is a first-round pick and a 1,000-yard rusher. He didn't have one good game in week 17.
With a quarter of the yards last year coming against this team.
But it doesn't matter. He's done it in the NFL. He's a far more productive pro than
Matt
Asiata.
To me, it would be the resume coming in. He's a first-round pick. This guy's an undrafted guy.
This is far more damning to me if they give up a big day to Matt.
Yeah,
Asiata.
And that's why I think, was it John that the first caller? Was that John? I can't remember. Made the point about
it was John.
This is,
John in LA.
This is sort of a no-win situation. This is one, you know, you have a solid performance, and you sort of restore order, and you've proven nothing because Peterson's out. Whereas if you have a bad performance against Matt Asiata, and you sort of struggle and even win the game, you're like, what do we have here? What's going on?
Yeah,
I almost just said a really dumb thing.
Have we fixed anything?
Yeah, I'm fighting a girl.
I'm just saying, let's not act like all of a sudden the Vikings have no running game whatsoever because Adrian Peterson's not playing. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I am. I'm saying they shouldn't have a running game today.
Well, that's why we have a post-game show.
Right, and you might be right, and if you're right, it's bad.
And I would agree. If they have problems stopping this version of the Vikings offense, then I think that says...
I'm more afraid of Paul's guy that I knew nothing about until Paul told me about him.
Jerick McKinnon?
Athlete, quarterback, 4,000-yard rusher.
He was a mid-round pick, right?
He was third-round pick. Yeah, he ran for about 3,900 yards in college.
Much more worried about him than
Smaller, more athletic guy.
And those are the guys that generally give the Patriots more trouble.
Correct.
The big guys, they generally corral. The small guys, shifty guys... tend to give him some trouble. But
how creative do you think they can get offensively
in a day?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
because they're going to have to try to be creative, create some stuff. Their offense is built around Adrian Peterson. That's gone. But you have Patterson. You have this guy that, to me, sounds like if you were in a sort of emergency situation, okay, we'll get some misdirections. We'll run the buck sweep fake to Patterson, and we'll come backside with McKinnon. We'll do different things. But can you get that ready quickly enough?
I don't know if you can do that, but I would say the flip side of that is, and I thought of this yesterday, the Patriots obviously spent the entire week focusing on Peterson. I mean, they all said it.
Right.
They all talked about it every day. I talked to Wilfork. We talked to Mayo. We talked to Hightower. They were all talking about the same thing, straightening out this run defense and getting ready for a steady diet of the best running back in football. So how much of their defensive game plan? I mean, obviously it's easier, but
I'd much rather go from
the guy being
focused on stopping is gone than the guy being unfocused carrying my
team. But here's my point. If they do what you said, okay, they can't just sit there and say, we're going to do exactly the same thing with Asiata that we were going to do with Peterson.
Bertrand would.
They can't just give the ball to him 30 times.
That's not what I said, Andy. That's you twisting my words.
That's what he said.
All I'm saying is let's not write off their ability to run the football altogether.
They just replace one big back with another. Very simple.
So if they come out instead of coming out in 12 personnel, they spread the field a little bit and they throw it all over the place in the first quarter, how unprepared are the Patriots defensively for that?
They shouldn't be. Because they're not that good.
I didn't
nobody
say that.
Nobody is that good.
Again, nobody said that.
No, but... you shouldn't be caught with your pants down against Matt Cassel, Greg Jennings. There's no excuses, especially for a defense that as of 8 days ago was going to be a top three defense.
Yeah. We're all going to do our best to keep
our
pants
think
on.
Seattle would say, oh my God, Peterson's gone. Now who knows what they're going to do? They're going to kill us. No, they would go out and kick their ass.
But that's not what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh my God, we don't know what to do now because we've only
been... Andy has a comprehension problem.
I'm just saying,
is it a comprehension or a listening problem?
Probably both. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you if you want to join us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Keep sending those emails. We're reading them today. Webradio@patriots.com.
It's nice of you.
And make sure you use the hashtag PBGS.
Visante will be happier. Some guy who is really
Whatever his name
Twitter.
Is. Let's also let you know that coming up at 12:15, we'll talk to Matt Venzel from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He covers the Vikings. We'll go behind enemy lines with him at 12:15. Coming up, we got our Sunday six pack. We'll take a quick look around at some of the other games in the league, and we'll get back to your calls. Chester, Pat, Andrew, we see you waiting. We'll get to you coming up next.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks. And 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
This is Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots Pregame Social.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social. 855 Pats 500. We always want the photos as well, Paul. We haven't gotten a lot of photos yet this year. People tailgating in their backyard, even though they're not at the game. Maybe you are at the game in Minnesota. Want to get some photos from there. Andy always likes to get the photos from the listeners. He's a big fan of the
photos. Especially the ladies.
The ladies. Put them up at the front of the photo so Andy can see them. Right? Am I right, Andy? Am I right?
You seem a little creepy when you say it.
The biggest creep here in Andy. Oh, you're so
Whoa. I don't think I'm the biggest creep here.
I'm pretty sure you are.
I think Kevin
here?
Is actually.
Here? I don't think there's any question about it.
In this room or this building?
In this room.
No, on our show here.
Oh, I think Kevin's a bigger creep.
No, I disagree.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I think you're the creep here, man.
He FaceTimes with his girlfriend. Who knows what they do when they're on there.
How about this, Andy? Andy, do you like bacon?
I love bacon.
Darren Revelle just had a tweet. Paul brought it to my attention. The Vikings sell a burger at their games that's 40% bacon
60%
and 60% beef.
I bet it tastes good.
That's
but
a lot of
here's
bacon.
Here's a picture. Here's a picture of the, and we'll tweet that with a PPGS on it so you can find it. How do you feel about
that? You know
that?
How you should top that off? A little barbecue sauce.
Put you right over the edge.
I mean, that is the question, though. It's can you have too much bacon?
I think you can. But I'm not sure a 40-60 mix, that sounds intriguing.
It would be good, but that bun looks terrible.
Yeah, the bun looks a little overkill to me.
It looks like a little bit of a pretzel bun going on there.
That's a poor play. That's a little overkill. And that gets in the way of me enjoying my 40% bacon burger. But, you know, we have our peeps who do all the various bacon things, the things wrapped in bacon. They do those, what do they call it, a bacon weave, where they weave it all together around the meatloaf for the different meats and stuff, the bacon bomb.
Bacon weave, huh?
Yeah. You've seen the bacon weave.
Have I?
Yeah. You've seen the bacon where they weave it. You weave it first, then you cook
it. We did it at UMass all the time.
We did it in here. Somebody brought it in, didn't they?
And then it's called the bacon explosion.
There's actually places where you can get a salad in a bacon weave bowl. So the bowl is made out of bacon.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of eating
yes,
a salad?
That's what you call a Paul Perillo salad right there. But, yeah, I like bacon. Oh, all you right. Retweeted that. Nice job. I'll retweet the retweet.
There you go.
We'll get that out there.
We're on that. We're going to get to our Sunday six-pack.
Are we worried about Alfonso Dennard at all?
Yeah, why don't you give us the latest on Alfonso Dennard?
Well, he worked out early. He was not on the injury report this week.
Correct.
He was out there early, and now there are 21 players out there with early stretching with Moses Cabrera, not Dennard. Our friend Mark Daniels of the Pro Joe speculating that he may be out, and I think that'd be interesting.
Well, that would be a problem.
I have no information. And as I said, he was not on the injury report. Jeff Howe tweeted, you know, must have been a bumpy flight to Minnesota because Alfonso Dennard looks like a game time decision after not being on the injury report. I mean, it's certainly not a major, you know, if I take the trade, Peterson and Dennard, you know, each team loses a player.
Right.
I think the Patriots win that swap. But, you know, we're trying to put together a defense here for not necessarily this week, but moving forward. What's this defense going to be? And that would be a blow to the defense.
It absolutely would be.
Greg Hardy's inactive.
I'm a big fan of
he's inactive, huh?
According to Albert Breer, for those of you keeping just the general over-the-top NFL storylines. Sorry, proceed.
Andy likes to keep going back to those NFL storylines today.
Carson Palmer inactive.
Well, yeah, I saw that too.
What's wrong with Carson Palmer?
Inactive.
Shoulder, I believe.
Who's the backup?
Drew Stanton.
Who are they playing?
Giants.
Oh, okay. So it's backup versus backup.
Let's go back to the phones. And we'll go
to when
Chester.
He loses control.
Chester in Oregon is up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hi, Chester.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
Doing well.
Nice. You guys talked about the keys to the game. To me, the first that's on my mind is Nate Solder and Vollmer. I mean, to me, these guys need to rise up and lead this O-line with authority. I feel like there's just no leadership right now in that offensive line at all. And to me, the key there is I need to see these two guys step up and really dominate at their respective positions. You know, we talk about Stork maybe being in the picture today and, you know, Debbie and all this stuff. I'm worried about too many, you know, young guys being on this line against Mike Zimmer's defense. I feel like that's probably a big game plan strategy is to really attack those deficiencies on the offensive line right now. I'm less worried about what our offense, you know, can or can't do in terms of throwing the ball. But if we're getting Brady, you know, under a duress all game, you know, it could be a slippery slope on that end. You know, Andy, you took a little point that I had earlier about Jamie Collins not being in the mix. You know, what is the plan going to be against Kyle Rudolph? I feel like this guy is a viable threat, you know, and especially if our defense can't set some sort of a tone, I'm worried that this guy could be a red zone nightmare for us. You know, I'm envisioning guys like Hightower or Chung, you know, being out there in coverage, and, you know, frankly, I'm nervous, and this goes back to, you know, me scratching my head as to why a guy like James Anderson walks, because I feel like he could have been a good plug-and-play kind of guy in that particular role. But, yeah, I got big concern there in the middle of the field right now, and I'm really wondering who's going to match up against Kyle Rudolph, who I feel is being severely overlooked in terms of, you know, potential threats. I think there's way too much emphasis on Cordarrelle Patterson, who's much more of a special teams threat. And, you know, while I'm not discounting that, I feel like Rudolph's definitely the A1 guy that we need to shut down today. I feel like on defense we've got to have push and pressure out there on this pass rush today. There's just no question about that. And hearing that Dennard's maybe shaky makes me extremely nervous just in the fact that, you know, I need to see some continuity out there as well. But, you know, still high hopes after that underwhelming start last week. And I'm going 31-19, Pats. I feel like we just set the tone and we don't let up today. So that's all I got. You guys have a great day.
All right, Chester. Thanks, Chester.
He said, all right, Chester, first, before he turned his mic on.
I could even hear that in here.
Paul, you going to handle the answer for Rudolph? Because mine would have been similar to Chester's, James Anderson, except James Anderson not on the team.
No, but to me, my bigger takeaway from Chester, who is a guy that we sort of rely on for the opposite kind of tone that he just had there. I thought that, and he flat out said he's a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
There was definitely some apprehension in his voice, even with Peterson out. That's not exactly what I'm expecting out of Chester, and I don't mean this as a criticism at all.
He's our fallback, Fred Kirsch. When Fred doesn't rally the troops, usually Chester
comes
in.
You know what he is? He's Fred Kirsch with a base knowledge of the team is what he is. He comes at it with actual knowledge of, you know, the personnel on both sides of the ball.
And he's got 30-19. He didn't sound overly confident.
No, he didn't. And I'm not as concerned. Well, here's the thing. You say who? Jamie Collins, I think, is an athletic linebacker who has the ability to cover a little bit, but shouldn't we be relying on our safeties to do more of the job taking away an opposing tight end than our linebackers?
In theory or action?
Both.
In theory,
like,
yes.
Okay, Jamie Collins is out. I'm sorry, but I don't want James Anderson next in line. I mean,
okay, so you want Patrick
at some point, I need my defensive backs to be able to cover
somebody. You want Tavon Wilson?
Yeah, I'd rather that than James Anderson.
The descending talent that is Daron Harmon. Ever since he was the presumed starter, he's been anything but the presumed starter.
Matt, he barely played last week.
So in theory, yes, I want my safeties. In action, I'm not sure I trust a single safety on this roster to do the job.
Yeah, but I don't trust the linebackers either. I mean,
oh, I don't either.
I mean, maybe Collins
well,
I
would
is
trust
a guy.
Anderson, but, you know, he's not on an NFL roster right now.
You know, so I just, you know, it's still Kyle Rudolph to me.
And Rudolph.
I don't think he's as good as other people do, evidently. I guess maybe I'm overlooking him.
I think he's a pretty good player.
I think he's okay.
Well, I would say that about the Vikings. Jaggy. I think he fits in perfectly on the Vikings offense.
I think he's jaggy.
You remove Adrian Peterson, I don't think they have a single player on that offense that is very good. Even Patterson, I agree with Chester. He's sort of a gimmick athlete player. He hasn't evolved into a receiver. That's when you take that next step, when you're an actual player. Uh-oh, Paul doesn't look happy.
He's looking at the numbers. Yeah.
Well, I was assuming that we had last year's stats in there, but they put the week one stats in there. He didn't catch any. He caught two passes for 16 yards last week.
Rudolph.
But one was for a touchdown. So.
Okay.
Red zone threat, and I think that's one thing that Chester talked about, was that he was worried about Rudolph in the red zone. Rudolph in the red zone.
Rudolph the red zone target.
See, I just said it. I thought it was out there, but Andy has to sing it.
Well, that's only a problem if they get in the red zone.
Well, that's kind of what my first thought was, but as Chester continued to talk, he sort of was starting to convince me that some of the things that he was saying were a possibility.
So, Mike, you know, we talked about this coming down. We both
on Matt Asiata.
Subtracted a Peterson was worthy of a touchdown in our predictions for this game.
All of a sudden, I've got Asiata going to the Pro Bowl.
You do. I had 30-17 for my initial prediction. I went down to 30-10. You went from something to something about a touchdown.
Yeah, 27-10. I started at 27-16.
So
and now I'm going to 27.
Should I assume Chester had it as like 30-26, and now has it as 30-19?
One of the papers this morning had it 34-31, I think, even with Peterson out. So maybe we're overlooking, you know, maybe you and I are a little guilty of whistling past the graveyard, which doesn't generally happen with you and I.
No.
No, doesn't.
Maybe everybody else is a little bit more concerned about the state of the Patriots.
Well, then everybody else is a flipping fraud who's making a reactionary alteration based on a single week of football. Because everybody else had them as rolling out of bed and winning the
Globe,
AFC.
34-31.
I mean, everybody said this was going to be a top three defense and they're dominant. And week two matchup against a team without Adrian Peterson, and suddenly
thing,
it's
though.
A fuck.
It's amazing how every single fuck. Week.
said
no,
fuck.
No.
Every single week.
No, you didn't.
But,
no.
So, Andy, your boy, Asiata here, or Beetle?
Yeah, Beetle.
Yeah.
He scored. He did have a game last year where he had the hat trick. He had three touchdowns.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Are you part of this?
No, I've been zoning out trying to fix this computer.
My goodness.
We did mention.
That's why we took an 8-minute break.
Yeah, he had a three touchdown game against the Eagles, and then he followed that up a couple of weeks later with a 115-yard performance in the preseason finale, otherwise known as Week 17.
Yeah, they put up 48 points in that Eagles game.
And Bertrand's got him, you know, next in line as a 2,000-yard rusher.
I don't know how this happened.
That's what he does. That's what he does. But I want to get back to your point. Everybody
Before
else
I
is
swore.
A, everybody else is a moron.
But, I didn't say moron,
but you and I didn't think
fraudulent.
That. You and I weren't necessarily ready to embrace this defense as a top three unit.
Exactly.
But yet we don't think there's any chance that they're in trouble today.
It's the Vikings. It's Matt Cassel. It's no Adrian Peterson.
So the people that thought that they had a great defense are worried, and the people that didn't think they have a great defense aren't worried.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, don't you expect them to bounce
my point,
back this week?
No, I get what you're saying.
Don't you expect them to bounce back this week to not be as bad as they were? They were pushed around last week. They made stupid mistakes. They had penalties. They had just a lot of stuff didn't go all that well.
If you're asking me the things that happened last week that I would be shocked if happened again, the only one I'm going to say definitively is the penalties. Bill Belichick's teams do not commit those kinds of penalties. Nine for 100 and something? That's very atypical of Belichick. But that's the only thing I feel really great about not happening again.
See, I feel really great about them not giving a .91 on the ground.
I would too with
really
with Peterson out. I feel great about that now.
With Peterson in, I wouldn't have.
But the whole don't you think they were going to bounce back? I wasn't sure they were going to bounce back regard.
I
if Peterson played,
back. I thought Bill. I said this on our show. I thought Bill had a bad week. I didn't think Bill did a great job of coaching, and he agrees with me. He said it post game.
Well, he says that every post game that they lose.
Fact is, he said it postgame.
No, I understand that, but he says it every postgame that they lose, therefore it sort of loses a little luster.
Right. Emails, webradio@patriots.com.
I don't think Mark likes us.
Kevin in South Carolina. No, I don't like you,
Andy. I think the word that best describes him toward us is tolerance.
Kevin in South Carolina writes in, this isn't college. I couldn't give a frog's fat ass what to say about us in the power rankings or anything like that. A win puts the Patriots at 1-1. That's a win. So he's very upset with the idea that
power rankings?
That today's a no-win. Remember, we were talking about
those don't come out for another
situation.
2 weeks, Paul. The Wilson-Hart power
rankings. But no one's talking about the power rankings. Who cares about
power
rankings?
He's very much against someone saying that it's a no-win situation today for the Pats if they win the game. He's very much concerned with them being 1-1.
Wait, no, we were talking about the run defense.
No, I'm talking earlier, Andy, earlier. Going back to earlier, the caller.
I think there's some truth to
earlier
that.
Earlier in the program
you,
when you were missing, saying that today was really a no-win.
If you beat a team that is nowhere near on the level of you, what does that say? It says, you know, to take the emailer's college analogy, it says that you beat up on an inferior team. You won your homecoming game. Congratulations.
On the road.
Nick
on
in Illinois road. Writes in, hey, guys, quick question with Jamie Collins out. Who is Bill going to have cover Patterson? Because we know Revis is going to be 10 to 15 yards off the line of scrimmage.
This is really, I think this is a fascinating little turn of events, this Revis stuff.
Something interesting. That's a funny email. Alan Italy writes in, two things, one serious, one not. First, the serious. I want to give my Rant of the Week award to our friend Mark with a C. His rant on Felger and Maslow, the valet guy who smashed his car into the wall,
was great.
Was classic. The best 10 minutes of radio this week. Now, the Pats. I hope they start fast today. Last week was so painful. Look at them getting beat by the Miami Octo. We're going to leave that word out there. Less Andy, more Paul. Thank you, Al. Yeah, I did have a bad week.
Did you hear about his car?
No.
That valet driver at the Pru smashed into a wall.
Now, how does that work? Of it?
See the picture? It's bad.
You got to go through their insurance or something?
Yeah, it's just, you know, hours of
those
my...
Those lights are expensive, too.
Yeah, hours of my time. It's not the lights. It was more than $6,000 in damage. So, yeah, it wasn't just the light that we're worried about. A lot of damage.
$6,000?
But
yep.
It was the back, right? Though, yeah. So you had no engine damage or anything.
No,
like that.
No.
Are you
engine.
Driving a Mercedes or something?
No, just a
fancy pants
Jeep Grand Cherokee.
How could he have gone? How could he been going that fast to hit the wall?
I don't know.
Backwards.
It had to. He had to be going like extreme, like at least 30 miles an hour to do it.
He was like the
in
cliche guy in a movie.
Inside a garage.
But it's like what you see in movies when they're making fun of LAs.
Right.
The guy
Ferris
doing
Bueller's Day Off.
So do yourself a favor and don't park at the Prudential Center. It's bad news. Bad news.
Is it really expensive to park in there too?
Yeah, I mean, I was out of options. I had to park
rich.
Somewhere. I'm not rich. Who said I was rich?
Could you explain
to
me
the 10 weeks?
The octo thing you couldn't say.
Octo instead of octopuses.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Fred would have said it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's the octopus now?
Listen, Andy's the only one that's said any swear words.
No, and on Twitter,
who's pussy now.
And yeah, okay, I guess we can say that word.
They heard.
Oh, you guys
are
pussies.
Jesse Wright tweets in, Jumbo Hart, PPGS, it's not a fuh 2 weeks in a row. Love it, man. See? He heard fuh. He never heard anything on the end. Well done.
So then
thank
why,
you,
did
Jesse
you go,
Wright.
Why did you go?
Why did you
grab
cover
your
mouth?
Why did
Cause
you
Because I
that?
Almost said that.
Oh, no, because you almost said it? No. You said it, and then you grabbed your mouth and was like, oh, no.
That was a little closer than I normally do with knock the fuh out. But
go F yourself.
I don't think I said it.
Danny from Spain writes, hey, guys.
By the way, note, I don't know
what?
The exact timing
what?
Of this, but every, you know, the Vikings inactives are out.
Oh, well, let's hear them.
Yeah. Well, Adrian Peterson.
Oh, you cared about those?
No.
But
we typically read those on the show.
I actually care about
you
one.
You are usually the person that reads them, Andy.
Andy, I actually do care about one.
The Patriots.
Sharif Floyd, is he active?
No. Yeah. He's
is.
Not on the inactives on a very pretty, formatted visual. They do a nice job there. It looks almost like a PDF. Christian Ponder, Adrian Peterson, Michael Motti, Brandon Watts, David Yankee, Rodney Smith, and Scott Crichton are inactive.
Scott Crichton.
You get the Yankee, but no Doodle Dandy?
That's a healthy scratch for our boy. We liked him in the draft, Andy. That's a healthy scratch. He's not even on the report. I assume other teams do it right.
But, you know, most people are continuing, you know, just still waiting on the Patriots inactives, and I don't see them yet.
Let's go to Andrew in the Ukraine. Hey, Andrew.
Andrew.
Hey. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
I'm still alive here, so that's what I got to see good.
Okay, cool.
I had a couple things here. Really quick. First of all, I know this is a free game, but I think the PSA and Congress needs to stay in the segment, Tuesday or Wednesday, where you go around and guess what crazy thing is going to happen that the best player on the other team is.
I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, having a really
having
hard
time
hearing you there, Andrew.
If you can, maybe you can call back. It might be a bad sell, but I'm having a hard time understanding that. And while we're doing that, Mike Reese just posted the inactives.
Yeah, why does Mike Reese have the inactives and Patriots doesn't have them?
Alfonso Dennard is among them.
Well, is among Mike Reese's reported inactives.
Here they are. Alfonso Dennard.
Wait, I just want to clarify. Are you reading Mike Reese's?
I am reading Mike
Pat's
Reese's.
Inactives.
Pat's inactives. This is according to Mike Reese.
Every week, the Patriots tweet out the inactives before anybody else. It's what they do. It's how they've decided they're going to send them out. I don't know why they haven't sent them out.
Well, here's what Mike Reese's
saying. So these are reported inactives.
Alfonso Dennard, Zach Moore, Kenbrell Tompkins, James White, Jamie Collins, Ryan Wendell, and Michael Buchanan.
So Dobson active, Tompkins inactive. We get our answer there. Paul Perillo had, you know, some questions as to what the inactive would be at receiver if Dobson did come back.
And that's not the one I would have picked.
Kenbrell Tompkins. Not the one.
I had two other choices, and that's not either neither one of them. I would have had Brandon LaFell would have been my first, and Danny Amendola would have been my second.
Yeah, I would not have deactivated either of them. This probably would have been my decision as well. Alfonso
Dennard. What does Brandon LaFell do?
Oh, I don't know, but you signed him to do something. So to just pull the plug on that in week two, to me, is as bad a signing as Tim Tebow.
But I thought we did things that were in the best interest of the team.
They clearly think that having LaFell on this team is in the best interest of the team.
Yeah, but I wouldn't care about what I did in the offseason. I would only care about what a guy can do for me right now in terms of my decisions for active or inactive. And, you know, I'm not a huge Kenbrell Tompkins fan.
If he's inactive, what are you doing? What is the problem with him, apparently? The problem is you throw him the ball six times and it never results in a catch.
Right. At least the other guy, it's half the
time. He doesn't have a relationship with Tom Brady.
Right.
You know, still working on that. Well, you're not working on that if he's just sitting in street clothes on the sideline. You signed him to be an aspect of your football team.
I thought you were doing it again.
Jeff Howe tweeting out.
Yeah, everybody else is tweeting
well.
Them
Everyone's
out too.
Got them now. And
everybody except the official account of the New England Patriots.
The Patriots Twitter account has not been active in the last hour or so.
So is Twitter down
so
for them?
Maybe they're having a Twitter issue. They haven't tweeted in 54 minutes, and before that it was Howe, 2 hours ago.
Howe, Reese, Price, they all had the same list.
There might be some sort of
Scalavino.
Issues. Could be some Twitter issues there. Maybe they had to just hand them out
Eric's talking to Jackie.
Oh, snap.
Creep show!
He went there.
That is true. That's the creepiest member of the show.
Well, yeah, but
show.
He's not
Andy,
on. Oh, actually,
Andy.
If we count him as a member of the
Andy,
show,
off,
which I don't.
You're off the hook, Andy.
I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, the interesting one to me is not so much Kenbrell Tompkins. It's
Dennard.
It's Dennard.
So who plays
the
in
injury.
Dennard's spot?
Dennard was hurt all summer, comes back late, and Dennard's hurt again. Your guy?
Malcolm Butler.
The Butler did it?
Logan Ryan. Kyle Arrington.
Butler has been ahead of those guys for the summer and the preseason. He was sort of the first backup.
It seems to me that Bill likes Ryan and Arrington inside, and he thinks Butler is more of an option outside. Would you agree with that, Andy?
Yes.
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that. I'm not sure I agree with wanting to see him on the field against Cordarrelle Patterson or even Jennings. You know, just... Also, you know what fears? You know what worries me a little bit too about Butler being on the field? The fact that we're talking about with no Adrian Peterson, could they try to do some different things? Could they try to be creative? And we're going to take the Division II undrafted rookie who's never played and put him on the field and say, you know, there might be some freaky stuff today, and you need to deal with it. There might, you know, I don't like the idea of that. I talked myself out of Butler.
Yeah, I you know what? And you know that I have been huge in Butler's camp. I don't know if I want to see him out there on a full-time basis in a regular season game yet. Undrafted kid out of West Alabama. You know, let's work him in a little bit slower.
We're going to talk more about the absence of Alfonso Dennard in this game. But before we do that, let's go around the league. Let's take a look at the Sunday six-pack.
Aaron Dukes.
Nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
Time for the Sunday six-pack. We pick six games against the spread, including...
And Paul loses them all.
Not well, but we
including
try.
Including this one. We pick them. Yeah, doesn't mean we pick them correctly. Our record's not very good from what I understand, right?
No,
Kevin?
It was terrible. Andy led the way last week at 2-4.
I'm the Buffalo Bills.
I thought we had the same picks.
Congratulations, Andy.
I'm BU Baseball. Woo!
Paul and Mark, 1-5. And in the new column this year, the opposing beat writer, who is Adam Beasley, I believe.
Yes.
Is 0-1. Now 0-1. So the opposing beat writer column is 0-1.
Good to know. We're going to keep track of that.
So here we go. Week 2. First up, Seattle at San Diego. Seattle by 4.5.
Seattle at San Diego.
Look at that number ground of 4.5.
I am going to take Seattle to win and cover. Better football team. I know everybody's, don't take them on the road. Wow, they're just flying down the coast.
The San Diego Chargers, as I like to call them, the greatest team that never was. I always pick against them. Give me Seattle.
I'm going to take San Diego.
It's good radio right there.
I'm going to take San Diego. That was supposed to be six.
Thanks. Thanks.
The imager there.
Thanks, Wiggy.
That was supposed to be six. I'm going to take San Diego to keep it close. I think they have a legitimate chance to win that game. In Seattle, despite Andy's insistence that people are wrong, is not the same team.
Seattle's got to roll. Roll.
I agree with you, Mark.
Here we go. Second game, Kansas City, the Chefs, at Denver. This line seems to have moved down as well. It's now 12.5.
I'll take Denver, and I like the movement downward. Chiefs, injuries, rebound here going in the wrong direction. Tanks, Broncos.
I will take Denver as well. I like them big in that game. And it's going to be, I mean, a lot of people predicted the Chiefs were going to be in for a big bounce, big fallback after the 11-5 season. And
yeah.
Now they got the injuries.
12.5's a lot of points, though.
Not as much as 14.
It was 14. Really.
All right.
Now I can win by 2 touchdowns.
I'll take the Broncos.
All right. Game 3. Chicago, the Bears, who lost to the Bills last week, at San Francisco. San Francisco by 7.
This is at San Fran.
It is.
Bears wide receivers both banged up. I'm taking San Fran.
Give me San Fran.
Yeah, I like the Niners in that one. Home opener at their new place. Give me the Niners.
Gotta be careful how you say that.
All right, game 4 here.
Levi's?
No, the home opener.
Miami.
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, you could say something offensive.
Miami at Buffalo. This is now an even push.
Miami here. Buffalo.
Wow.
Push.
It's a pick 'em.
It's a push. I will take Miami. Not feeling really good about it, but I think Miami is a better team than Buffalo. Maybe they've grown up a little bit from last year. We'll see.
I do, too. I'll take Miami, even though I was tempted just for the right to win this game to go against you and use your own rule against you.
This game's in Buffalo, Kev?
That's true. My rule would indicate that I take Buffalo.
I'm taking the Bills because, as Andy tells me, there's a feeling in the air there. It's palpable that they could be in first place in the AFC East. Give me the Bills.
All right. Next to last here, we get the Jets at the Packers. Green Bay by 7.5.
Packers.
Packers.
I like the Packers to bounce back big. 10 days off feeling about that loss on opening night.
Clean sweep there.
Packers, Packers, Packers.
All right, last one, but not least. New England at Minnesota. New England by 4.
I'm going to take the Patriots in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Patriots by more than 4 because I thought even with Peterson playing, they'd win by more than 4. Now I think they'll win by even more. Unlike Beadle, who I'm a little surprised he didn't take the Vikings, giving the ascension of Matt Asiato to the star position in the backfield. I'm going to take the Patriots, baby.
Over under on Matt Asiata's rushing yards today. What do you want to set that at, Andy?
20.
No, I think you Come set on. That legitimately at about
Did you see
60,
how mad he got?
62.5.
Did
you see
the
how
over.
Mad he got?
I take the under.
I'm taking the over.
I'll take the under. And if
I
they
bet he
give
has
him,
70 yards today.
If they give him the ball a lot and try to get the over on that, they lose. They win this game by playmaking, trick plays,
I don't think they're
going to
win the game.
Plays,
I don't think they're going to win the game. So okay. It fits right into my argument.
What did you set the over on?
62.5.
Okay, I like the under as well.
Taking the over.
Of course you are.
I just don't think he's going to get enough carries to get there.
Jupe Adams to your fantasy behind. Team, you should probably go on the waiver wire.
No, you know what? I'm going to set up a fan duel right now with Matt Asiata. That's
no, we
what
don't.
Do.
Whoa. We don't do fan duel around here.
Oh, we don't?
We draft do DraftKings.
Oh, sorry. I don't do DraftKings.
Code word PFW. Get yourself a free play.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500. Excuse you? 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number for you. Jump on board. Get some emails we're going to get to as well coming up. We also will go behind enemy lines. That's coming up at 12:15, I believe. Yes, 12:15 on the show. We talked to Matt Venzel from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. That to 12:15. We also will go inside the press box with Eric Scalavino. He will give us all kinds of insight later on in the program. 855-PATS-500. More calls coming up with you next.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots. Our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Have a prediction for today's game? Let us know about it on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email your prediction to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Mark, Andy, and Paul on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome back to the program. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500. Emails coming in, webradio@patriots.com. Alex writes in. Al from, is it Paramus? Is that how you say that?
Paramus.
New Jersey?
Yeah.
Al from Paramus writes in. He is not happy, and here's why. I am not happy.
He lives in Paramus.
I am not, that aside, I am not happy with Mankins being traded. I am not happy with the O-line. I am not happy with the defense. I am not happy with Brady throwing down the field. I am not happy with Gronk running down the field. He looks clumsy. They will be 0-2 by the end of the day.
No, and that's something I wanted to bring up because that's sort of what my question was about. In teasing our PPGS, as I do every Sunday, I asked, you know, bounce back. You know, it's a bounce back week for the Patriots, so who's going to lead the bounce back? I said Gronk because I thought he looked as bad on the field as we've ever seen him on a football field. You know, last year when he came back, anything. And I just, if we see it 2 weeks in a row, I'm going to be color me concerned that that's the post multiple injuries Gronk. But other people said Brady, you know, he can't be as bad as he was. Offensive line, Chandler Jones was a popular one that he's going to be used more properly this week and he'll be the bounce back.
He's going to use him the way we say that he should be
right,
used.
Properly.
Right.
But what do you, who do you have?
Well, I wanted to stick with Gronk for a second. Do you feel that it was just strictly a case of him knocking some rust off? He hadn't played.
I have no idea.
Because I'm a little more.
That's what I'm crossing my fingers on.
I'm a little
on.
More concerned about him than,
than
it sounded like you were.
He looked horrific.
Yeah, you know what? I like.
And not catching
I
the ball. I'm not talking production. I'm talking looked. Actual visual.
And I liked Al's adjective, clumsy. He looked a little clumsy. Like, he didn't look fluid at all. I'm a little concerned about that. And I think that.
I'm not, because he's going to have 7 for 117-2 today.
That's a game changer to me if he's not.
It's a season changer.
That's what I'm saying. It's not the same to me if he
start
can't
making
be
making a vacation for early February.
If he can't be himself, then you know, oh boy, he doesn't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. It's like a big game changer. but I feel he needs to be closer to himself, close to himself that we know. When in order for them to be great. And I, based on what I saw in that first game, I'm not sure that it just changes that much from
so he is
one
not your bounce-back player of this week?
No, I would say the offensive line has to bounce back. They can't get pushed around like that. The tackles. You know, if you want to look specifically, I'm going to go the tackles.
Not Storky.
Because the tackles didn't play well.
They sucked.
And they need to. And they're better players than that. They need to play better than that.
And the matchup is, I think the combo of Wake and Vernon is better than the combo of Everson Griffin and Brian Robeson, who apparently they move inside. I did some, you know, nickel downs. They move him into tackle so he could challenge something
you know who
to bear watch
You know who
on.
Comes up a little bit in sub packages? Your boy, I believe, Barr. Anthony Barr.
Not my
boy. They use him a little bit.
He's overrated.
Okay. They use him a little bit as a sub-rusher.
Playing the role of Bill Poley and Andy Hart.
Would you turn your freaking mic on?
Well, I turn it off because you guys go on these stupid rants for so long. And
that was a rant? That was all football.
It's called a pregame show, and all we did was talk about the offensive line.
That was all football.
I wasn't talking about you, Paul. I was talking about Andy.
It was all football. Both of us, you dink.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you take your Nestle Quick and shove it up your ass?
Let's get to...
Now, did you not say that either?
Abraham writes...
Yeah, you can say that.
Hey, guys, after hearing that Dennard could be a game-time decision... Which
nope,
be now,
that's been made.
This was written before the inactives were out. Alphonso Dennard is out. I was wondering if Browner's situation has changed due to the new drug policy put in place this week. I hadn't heard any updates on him, so I was wondering if you guys knew anything. Brandon Browner, Abraham, is not eligible to return under this new policy. His suspension cannot be reduced or overturned, so he will still have to sit out all 4 weeks, this being week two of that.
And it also hasn't been finalized yet,
no,
is my understanding.
Has not.
Can I
touch on that for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
You guys sound like you know a little bit more about this than I do.
I didn't know it was definitive.
Why is it definitive about Browner?
From what I read, he tested positive during the course of the season, correct?
Yeah, I thought there was a difference between PEDs and recreational drugs. That was
right.
the differentiation. Now, I'm wondering, did he test positive?
Well, no, here's the thing.
Well, he's done both.
Brandon Browner tested positive during the course of the season, right? It happened in early December, end of November of last year, right? So when that becomes the case, when you test in season, even for the recreational drugs like Wes Welker and the amphetamines, any test in season for amphetamines is still going to count against it, and there will be no reduction. Whereas if you are testing positive for it out of season, like Welker did, you will no longer get suspended for it, and that's why his would be overturned, as would they're going to reduce Josh Gordon's, because marijuana will no longer be what it was under the old policy.
Can I ask another question?
Go ahead.
Have they altered the Adderall, what that is?
No, not from what I understand, because that still falls under a category that they are out. See, I don't know what's going to happen for the Adderall outside of the regular season, you know, depending
on
what
the language is. Well, that's
what
I was kind of asking, because Tim's was an Adderall failure in the offseason.
I don't know exactly what they're going to do with that.
According to Tim's, he was an Adderall failure in the offseason.
Well, but obviously the NFL knows, so that we'd find out. And I saw someone tweet yesterday that a lot of people that have been telling us that they've been suspended for Adderall, or better hope that they were telling the truth, because they're going to look really bad now. But I was under the impression that Adderall is still a PED. And if that's not the case, that's why I was asking you guys.
Yeah,
no,
because
Adderall is a stimulant, isn't it?
Well, there's amphetamines in Adderall, but there are some other chemicals that are in it. So I don't know what that's going to qualify under. I don't know the specific language as it relates
cocaine?
To Adderall. I think cocaine is always going to have a ban on it, from what I understand. Pretty sure cocaine.
Well, but if I take cocaine in the off season, it's recreational. If I take it during the season, I'm Lawrence Taylor. I'm trying to get a little buzz going.
I don't know, Andy. You're going to have to ask the league on that one.
I won't.
And I haven't done enough research on it yet to see what the differentiations are in terms of
ecstasy.
Which guys are going to get off? But I thought that the recreational drugs, I thought, was more like a marijuana type situation. But I don't know.
And who's to say I don't take steroids for recreational purposes?
And I think it's silly, because whatever you pass for your new policies should be in place now. They shouldn't retroactively take Wes Welker and allow him to play the next two games. And I'm not saying that because it's the Broncos or anything like that. But I believe that Wes, if you want to say it was silly that he got suspended 4 games for what he did, that's fine. I don't have any argument with you about that. But whatever the rules were that were in place, he got suspended for 4 games. To me, to change the rule now and all of a sudden cut his suspension in half, what if there's a million guys that got suspended over the years for silly stuff like that and they had to serve their whole suspension? I think that's dumb.
Danny from Spain writes in, "Hi, guys. The other day I was talking with some PFW elites, and I saw the defensive tackle, Fred Evans, former Viking, came to visit the facilities. He left without a contract. Do you think they were willing to sign him? Because, you know, we freaking cut Kelly and we need one, or are they just trying to get some info about the Vikings defense? Thanks." His prediction, Patriots 35, Vikings 10. Let's go, Danny in Spain.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been a fact-finding mission, because if they were just working him out, I don't believe that there would have been much in the way of
facts to find.
Yeah. That would be kind of a strange way to go about it. I think that it all depends on, in terms of their depth, I think it depends on how they want to play. I think that if you put, Easley and Wilfork, I feel pretty good about them. I feel pretty good about a rotation that involves Chris Jones and Salinga and Villano, and I think that's fine. But if you're going to use, if you need three of those guys to be on the field all the time, out of a 3-4, Andy made this point a little while ago, I think you're asking too much out of guys like Chris Jones and Silver Salinga and Joe Villano.
As Brian writes in on the Adderall issue, he obviously knows a little bit more about this. As I said, it does have amphetamines in it. He writes, Adderall is a cocktail of four different amphetamine salts. It is absolutely a PED.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The NFL considered it a PED.
I believe it's still going to be considered a PED.
And if that's the case, then it doesn't matter all these guys that tested positive for Adderall. I mean, they're not going to get their suspensions cut in half. I'm not sure the Patriots want that. This Dennard thing might be different now with Browner, but Timms, I would think that the Patriots sort of want him. Give me a couple more weeks. I got him. I still have him. I don't have to make a decision. You know what I'm saying? Let's buy a little time.
Regular I don't really understand any.
Yeah, there's no point in getting into the science. It's way over our heads.
People are also, I think, kind of missing the forest for the trees or the trees for the forest, whatever. HGH is part of this.
That's part of the testing, yeah. The whole reason this is...
All anybody's talking about is amphetamines in May.
Right.
How about year-round HGH usage?
Well, the HGH part of it, that's why the players in this league. But that's why the players are getting this other stuff, like this marijuana threshold that's going higher now, so you won't test positive for just sort of,
It's typical.
Token
players.
Up once in a while, as they say.
They can't do now the thing that actually extends their career, but they can smoke a little
but
weed.
They can
on
smoke
the
a little weed, okay. 420.
Right,
420
right.
Is looking good.
Idiots.
A couple of photos coming in here, Andy. A couple of photos from, let's see, Barry sent these in.
Oh, Barry Ensiong.
I thought
Barry wasn't going to be there.
Orange County Pats fans meeting up for the season opener last week, and he also sent us a photo of Patriots tailgate members in Minneapolis. They met up last night at Kieran's Irish Pub in Minneapolis.
Oh, boy.
A couple of good photos. A lot of Patriots fans out
what
there.
What was that for, Andy?
Going to the games.
What?
Oh, boy.
That was Charles Barkley on CBS, according to Dane Brugler. Whipping. We do it all the time. Every black parent in the South would be in jail under those circumstances.
Oh, boy.
Chuck Barkley at it again.
Oh, and he's a jackass, too.
He's an astute Patriot analyst, though.
Yeah. Let's go to Muhammad's email. He writes, our play calling sucks. I bet I can guess what plays they're going to call. We're going to run it for the first two downs of the game. Every third and long, we're going to run it. Josh McDaniels thinks he's tricking everyone. He's not. He stinks. Muhammad from KSA.
I do not agree that Josh McDaniels stinks. I kind of like Josh McDaniels. I think he's a solid offensive coordinator. To me, the execution has been pretty horrific.
It certainly wasn't week one.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot, Beadle, about they don't do enough screens and draws. And then you hear, well, every time on third and long they run. One of the most effective plays they called the other day was third and 10 from their own six, draw to Vereen for 11. That kickstarted a 94-yard touchdown drive. Now, I would say I thought that was a horrific call. It worked. Doesn't mean it was a good call. It worked, and it got the drive going. But I think with Tom Brady as your quarterback, if I have a young, inexperienced quarterback, by all means, draw on third and 10 from my own six. I have Tom Brady. I don't need to do that. That's not a way to move the chains consistently. But they ran a number of screens in that game. They weren't effective. I agree with Andy. I think the play calling is wildly overrated as a problem in this offense.
Let's go back to the phones before we go behind enemy lines. Let's talk with Marty calling us all the way from Australia today. Andy.
Good day, mate.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
You have another VB for me.
No problem, man. If I'm 2 a.m, I'm pacing around my lounge room. Fonzie Dennard is not playing. I mean, he's head and shoulders above any other cornerback we've got besides Revis.
I agree.
Not liking the inactive.
Yeah,
jump on the back of your HGH comments there, Andy. Everyone's jumping around wanting Josh Gordon to come back and the fact they can now smoke a little weed. This HGH thing could tear the league apart. I think there's more than like 85% of the players got to be on it. How can he not test positive for HGH? This could really rip the league apart. I reckon there's no exposure to it. No one's talking about it, how this could really affect a a lot of players. And, yeah, just the lack of conversation about it is really concerning. So it's interesting that you guys brought it up.
Yeah, I think it is sort of the biggest part of this new program. Now, the question will be the implementation. I haven't seen the specifics in terms of how they're going to be tested, when they're going
to
be tested,
to me, be
how often, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I continue to say we think it's a big deal, except for I personally believe 90% of Olympians are on it, too, and none of them ever fail the test, and they've been testing for it the last few Olympics. I think the tests are, as always, the tests are way behind the
cheaters
the guys
remain
using
ahead.
It.
But yes, the when of that testing, to me, of Yandy's point, would be the one. Because if it's in season, you know, how long does it take to get out of your system? How long does it take for you to beat that test? And all that kind of stuff becomes relevant.
Whether you know or not.
I agree with Marty. I think there's a very big percentage of players that are using something.
As they should be.
Yep. Also, quickly, my main point, I wanted to talk about, I'm just really confused. I mean, so Collins isn't playing today.
Correct.
We let go of
James Anderson.
And we also let go of, didn't we release another linebacker?
Darius Fleming.
Promoted someone. Yeah, and we promoted someone to the active roster from the practice squad, correct?
Deontay Skinner.
Right.
I feel like I'm
What's
filling
the background
in the
on this guy?
Undrafted rookie, did not play a whole lot in the summer. He was on NFI. We didn't really get to see him a whole lot. I think he played in the last game, I want to say, against the Giants. So we don't really know a whole lot about him. My guess is that he's a better run stopper than an edge guy. I think Fleming was more of an edge guy, and this
Correct.
Guy, Skinner, is probably more of an inside linebacker.
Let's go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
Time to go behind enemy lines as we get ready for Patriots Vikings 1 o'clock kickoff in Minnesota today. And right now we go behind enemy lines. We bring into the program from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Matt Venzel, joining us now on the line. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. Obviously, the big story there is Adrian Peterson and him not playing this week following his indictment this past week. How's that going to affect the Vikings, in your mind, on the field today?
Well, I mean, without a doubt, he's their best player. Even though he's 29 years old, he's still, arguably the best running back in the NFL. They are going to lean on a guy, Matt Asiata, who was an undrafted player, who had a little bit of success last year when Peterson was hurt at the tail end of the season. But, you know, it's a lot to ask for him to kind of replace Peterson, and I think he was going to be a big part of the game plan too, Peterson. I mean, he is every week, but even more so against, Tom Brady and the Patriots to try to control the clock, maybe shorten the game and set up play action for Matt Castle. So, that's going to be a huge loss. We'll see Asiata, and we'll also see Jerick McKinnon, who's an exciting, dual threat player. He's a rookie. He's more of a Darren Sproles type, but, he ran well in the preseason when we did see him with the first team line. So it's going to be up to those two to try to fill the void.
And do you think in terms of trying to do that, are we going to see trick plays, sort of unique wrinkles? You know, it's not just it can't just be Matt Asiata sliding into the game plan and that's what we're going to do. I would have to think they're going to get creative.
Well, the problem is, though, is that, you know, while I'm sure the Vikings were probably aware of everything that was going to be coming down on Friday, still, they went through practice with Peterson there, so it's probably a little bit tricky for them to change up their game plan, on the fly like that. I mean, they did have some time on Saturday to maybe put in some new wrinkles, but for the most part, this is the plan they have, and they're probably going to be stuck with it. And, North Turner is one of the best play calls in the league. He probably had some things dialed up anyways to try to keep the Patriots off balance. We saw Cordero Patterson get a couple jet sweeps against the Rams, and then he had the big touchdown play. Where they lined him up in the backfield and gave him a pitch, and he took it around the right end. So there'll be wrinkles, but I'm not quite sure how much they were able to change their plan, considering that this news broke in the afternoon on Friday.
Well, obviously the production of the running game figures to take a hit. Obviously we're very familiar with Matt Castle from his time here with New England. Is he equipped to maybe take on more of a role here, more of the load? And if so, where does he try to get the ball? Is it Jennings? I know Patterson hasn't done as much as a pure receiver, as some of the other guys. Is the offense
capable of throwing the ball to win?
Well, you know, I think Matt Castle has looked pretty good so far. I mean, he wasn't asked to do much in week one. A lot of short throws to try to neutralize the Rams' pass rush. But he looked good in the preseason. He looked good in training camp. And I think the key here is North Turner once again. You know, he's been able to get the most out of quarterbacks. And let's face it, you know, Matt Castle has been, you know, an average starting quarterback at best. You know, he's looked good at times, but he's been pretty inconsistent. But, you know, in Turner's offense, he's been able to keep teams off balance and give Castle easy to find reads. The scheme kind of gets players open. But, you know, Greg Jennings is a guy that has really clicked with Matt Castle, even dating back to last year. You know, he had a touchdown last week. So, you know, I think they have good chemistry, and he often looks his way. Cal Rudolph is another player that, you know, seems poised for a big season. And, you know, I think you said it with Patterson. He's more of an X factor. You know, he hasn't quite developed, you know, in his second year into a, you know, a wide receiver that's going to put up big numbers week in and week out as a receiver. But as we keep seeing, he finds ways to score touchdowns. He has, you know, six straight games dating back to last year with a touchdown. I think four of those were on the ground. So, you know, if he's not catching passes, he's still been able to find a way to make a huge impact in the game.
Matt, let's flip the field here. Obviously, a way that, you know, you can take care of the game planning issues is to play well defensively, keep the Patriots scoring to a minimum. We saw Everson Griffin with a couple sacks last week, and we saw the Patriots, quite frankly, struggle mightily to protect Tom Brady. How aggressive will we see that defensive front, and how capable are they of getting to Tom Brady with regularity?
Well, you know, it felt like watching that Rams game that they were just, you know, sending a blitz every other play. But then, you know, you go back and look at it, and, you know, I think they only blitzed maybe 10 times throughout the game. And Zimmer's really good, especially in those third and long situations of you know, putting, you know, 10 guys up on the line of scrimmage, showing blitz, but, you know, they only end up rushing four, maybe five sometimes. It's just a question. You don't know which four guys are going to come. And, you know, we saw a lot of pressure coming from, you know, all angles. You know, they sent safety Harrison Smith a few times, and every time he was able to disrupt the quarterback. But, you know, ideally against the Patriots, you want to be able to get pressure on Brady with just four guys. I think the strength of this defense is the talent on the defensive line. You know, you mentioned Griffin. Brian Robinson's also a great player who's a little bit underrated. Sharif Floyd is a second-year player they're expecting a lot from. Linval Joseph. So, you know, they have good depth there as well. So I think, you know, ideally they'd be able to get pressure with four guys, drop guys in a coverage. And if that's not working, they might have to try to force the issue a little bit. And we know how Brady can be against the blitz. You know, that might be a recipe for disaster.
Tell me a little bit about Anthony Barr. He's a guy that we heard a lot about in the draft, obviously a high pick. How are they using him?
Yeah, I should have mentioned him too. I mean, he's a really interesting player. I mean, his first 2 years at UCLA, he was a fullback, H-back type. They switched him to defense before his junior year as an outside linebacker in a 3-4. And, you know, he had great results, was always in the backfield. I know some draft analysts kind of said he was going to be a project and wondered why the Vikings took him to play in a 4-3. But, you know, they've kind of put a lot on his plate, and he's been able to handle it. I mean, you know, he has great size and speed, you know, and they think ultimately he can develop into a really good pass rusher. I think, you know, we'll see him at times line up as a defensive end in some of those sub packages. But, you know, I think what has surprised me the most is how much they trust him in coverage. You know, they said when they took him that they envisioned a Von Miller type role for him, kind of a do-it-all role, and we've seen that. And they trust him to run with tight ends. So, you know, of course, Mike Zimmer wasn't about to tip his hand when it comes to the game plan, but you would think just looking, you know, at his size and his measurables and his speed, is that he's someone that could potentially match up, or at least try to match up with Rob Gronkowski. And, you know, I don't think they're going to do it every play because he likes to mix in zone and things like that. But, you know, I think we'll see him a decent amount against Gronkowski in coverage. And, you know, I think that's kind of surprising considering what everyone said about him coming out of the draft, that they would trust him to do something like that. He's been a nice surprise.
It's interesting you mentioned the potential Barr-Gronkowski matchup. I wanted to ask you, on the other side of the ball, Jamie Collins is out of this game. He's been a guy the Patriots have used in coverage and coverage of tight ends quite a bit the end of last year, early this year. How good is Rudolph as a young tight end? Is he a guy that at the end of the day today we could be saying, wow, he really took advantage of, you know, the lack of depth at linebacker and maybe some of the Patriots' issues at safety?
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting player. You know, he he's been to a Pro Bowl before. We've certainly seen him put up numbers in the red zone. I mean, he's a big guy. He has good leaping ability, another one of those former basketball players turned tight ends. But, you know, he hasn't quite emerged as, you know, top five tight end or whatever that means, but as one of the top guys. And, he's shed some weight in the offseason in the hopes of becoming more of a vertical threat. And I think we have seen that in the, you know, we saw in the preseason, he had a nice, you know, a 53-yard, 55-yard catch and run for a touchdown. And he's still a red zone threat. But, I think one area of his game that is still kind of lacking is he's not a great short area guy. He's not a guy that's going to come out with, crisp routes on these underneath throws. I think he's a better player when he's able to kind of stretch the field a little bit. I don't know if he's going to be a guy who catches, eight passes today, but, there might be a couple plays where he's able to exploit the Patriots down the field for long gains. And, that's certainly, with Collins' coverage ability is probably a better chance of that now with him out.
Matt Wenzel from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. We always ask every week the opposing writer that we have on the program if they have a pick for the game. Who are you picking to win this game today?
I picked the Patriots. I think the pick in the paper was 24-19. And I actually made that pick before the Peterson thing and decided not to change it. I think obviously not having Peterson is going to make it tougher, even tougher for the Vikings. But, I still think it'll be a close game. We're certainly kind of reinvigorated this entire franchise. It'll be interesting to see if this whole incident with Peterson on Friday kind of took some of the sails out of the team, or if they're able to just kind of to ignore it and keep on going. But I think it'll be a good game for a while, but I think ultimately Brady and Belichick will figure out Zimmer's defense and find a way to eke out a win.
All right, Matt Wenzel from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Matt Wenzel joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let's get back to your calls and go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
Hey, Melvin.
Hey. I was concerned, I guess. I know I'm kind of like a elder here almost, but with the with Danny Amendola, okay, with him and his, like I said, them, Tom Brady and them not being on that same page, you know, as each game goes on, I think that chance of is lowering. And I think that's an interesting spin because remember last year he opted not to have the surgery. But in the beginning of that Bills game, he was really good. I mean, I felt like he looked really good, really dynamic, looked like we kind of got what we asked for. Do you all, moving forward now, would you all put more stock into that relationship eventually is really what we're going to need? Because I guess it's one of our best, obviously it's one of our best receivers hands-wise. Or would you lean towards the direction of, all right, we got to get Dobson going. He's got to get Vereen going. We've got to get these other guys going because right now, I think that's eventually not going to get us to the promised land. What do y'all feel about that?
I feel they need to get Dobson going. I think that that's the one guy that I think has the size and skill set on the outside to make a difference. And, with Amendola, I feel like you already have a guy that does what he does on the inside. In Edelman, that's sufficient. I think you have another great inside presence in Gronkowski when he's right. So to me, the more important thing would be to try to get another guy that does something different going. And to me, that's Dobson. I don't know how you guys feel about it, if you feel any different, but I've seen the other guys, Tompkins, Amendola, LaFell. I haven't seen enough of Dobson yet. And I'm looking forward to the first sight of that this year, today, and hopefully the next couple of weeks going forward, he can build on something.
I think Dobson needs his chance. I don't feel the same way about LaFell as you do. I mean, I don't think he's necessarily had his chance to be what he can be with one game under his belt in regular season.
Yeah, I'm just judging on his career.
Missing the whole spring. Well, for his career, he's been productive.
He's average.
Right. I'll take average. Yeah. To me, they have nothing after Edelman and last week, nothing after Edelman, because Gronkowski wasn't even Gronkowski last week. So I think they just need to find somebody to fill in the void, whoever it is. And, Brady might have to throw to somebody who drops the ball. Brady might have to throw to somebody who ran the wrong route two plays ago, because they just need to find guys to fill out the offense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We got some emails coming in. Just want to mention this one. Brett in California writes in that he's listening to us this morning poolside in Northern California. And he said, I wish you get this Minnesota writer off the phone. He's cutting into Andy's airtime. Big Andy fan.
Oh, I like this guy. Who's this guy? And does he want to invite me to his poolside immense?
Brett in the Bay Area. He said, Pat's going to win, but it's close. 24-20. Andy, he sent in a photo of where he is sitting and listening to the program this morning. I got to say, I'm a tad bit jealous. A tad bit. Just hanging out.
He answered the question. Yes, he can get a hot tub.
He is sitting in the hot tub. Now, he's not in the photo. It's just a photo of his.
The hot tub with the pool in the background.
What do you think, Paul? You jealous of that?
The girl from 4B? What is it? 3B?
Well, it has a little bit of a look of, what's that old show you used to watch, Paul? Not 90210, the other one.
Melrose Place.
Isn't that what they had, like a courtyard?
Now, how do you know I used to watch Melrose Place?
Because you're a loser.
No. Yeah, I know, because you have to be a loser to watch Hot Chicks. That's, it makes me a loser.
No, that's not what makes you a loser.
You're a loser!
There are many, many things. I know
we
Kevin was all.
Fred. We should be doing this show from a hot tub.
I mean, you wasted your time watching Heather Locklear. I mean, what was wrong with you?
You, I'd be happy to do the show. Well, wait, with you guys?
No, well, I need that my own hot tub.
That got a little, that got a little weird.
Different hot tub.
Yeah, that got a little weird with the three of us just hanging out in the hot tub.
Bunch of dudes in a hot tub.
As soon as you brought that up, you must have thought, where am I going with this?
It would be fun to have one in here, though.
Well, then we'd need some ladies.
And then you can have the chicks from Melrose Place come down and get in the hot tub.
Right, and Paul would be all excited. Here's where he's going to get mad at me again. Because I don't
Hold on. Does Melrose Place bring you back to your youth, Paul? Is that what that's all about?
No.
No, he was old
young
at that point.
It was like 20 years ago, wasn't it?
And I wasn't young.
So you were like college or whatever.
Yeah, I was out of college.
You were young, though.
Yeah. Younger.
Younger. Younger.
I didn't mean as a shot, Paul. I actually meant it as factual.
Let's we're gonna go inside the press box. Eric's on the line.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and from PFW is Eric Scalavino. He's inside the press box today at TCF Bank Stadium, getting ready for this game, this outdoor game against the Vikings. Eric, give us your initial impressions. What are you seeing on the field of note?
Well, I was hoping you guys would stall a little bit more and talk about hot tubs because I'm waiting for the offensive line to get into the three-game team warm-up with the 7-on-7 group. They get to do that because I wanted to give you guys the in-the-moment analysis of what the offensive line looks like. But in the drills that they're running now with the D-line, it looks like the same five starting O-line unit from last week, which to me is a little bit disappointing because I was hoping that with Jock Spine being active, he might get a little bit more activity, maybe in place of Jordan Debbie, who didn't look so hot last week against Miami. But it's looking like the same five from last week are going to start again this week.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing, not just for Devi Klein, but also, you know, people are hot on the hopes of Stork being in the mix here. And, you know, I'd at least like to see an advancement with that story, whether he's ready to be a guy that could be the eventual starting center or whether he's not ready and you need to stick with something else. But, you know, the status is quo, apparently, and quo wasn't all that good last week in Miami. On the defensive side of the football, have you seen anything as of yet? Because obviously, you know, you have some questions there with Jamie Collins out. I know there were some reports that Bill said that Deontay Skinner will take some Jamie Collins reps, which I'm not sure how I feel about that. And first and foremost, 3-4-4-3.
They just went into team drills, Andy, and they are in a 3-4 at the moment. Which Skinner is getting reps with that that first unit out there.
Oh, good.
So from practice squad to perhaps starting, it looks like the Patriots. At least that's what pregame warmups are showing.
Getting flashbacks of Skinner, Eric Alexander starting an AFC title game.
So Skinner and Mayo inside.
Yes, and now they're going with second team units here, and Skinner is still with them just because they don't have
they don't have anybody else.
We don't have any second team. Our second team's our first team.
I know.
Now Andy's yelling. Yeah.
That's a little bit troubling. Chung still next to McCoy at safety in the first unit when they lined up out there.
So did Kyle Rudolph do cartwheels down the field when he saw that?
Yeah, he may be in his head, but yeah, you mentioned that Eric Alexander thing. That's kind of that is kind of reminiscent of that, where a guy just comes out of nowhere and has a star. I mean, not nearly as big a game, obviously, magnitude-wise, implications and whatnot, but still, for this early in the season, for the type of player that he is, rookie, who was just on the practice squad 2 days ago, now it looks like he's going to start. And good news is, at least there's no Adrian Peterson running down his throat, but, you know, the Vikings still have a lot on offense.
How about at the cornerback position, where we have sort of a surprise here? No Alphonso Dennard on the injury report, but no Alphonso Dennard on the field today. Are we going to see Paul's boy Malcolm Butler get a chance, or what are we seeing?
Butler was getting second team reps in the team period in the spot where Revis was, so on the left corner side. They were just sticking this week with the base in warmups. Not like last week when they came out with the sub package in warm-up. So, but you're probably right. I mean, there has to be some sort of shuffling there with no Dennard. And, I would think based on what he has done thus far, Butler is a guy who I think deserves to be out there and at least show what he can do a little bit more. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of guys, there's a rotation of whether it's Arrington, Logan Ryan. I'm not quite sure that they're settled on who their cornerbacks are. Other than Revis.
But did they have one out there just at that time when Revis was on the left side? Who was on the right side?
They had Kyle Arrington.
Arrington.
We know how Patriots fans love Kyle Arrington on the outside. That's their dream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. So, Eric,
you haven't brought a lot of good news to us.
No, I don't feel, I feel less confident than I did before you started this interview.
I'm just giving you the facts, guys. I'm sorry.
The truth can be disappointing. It's not mean, but it can be disappointing.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Now, the biggest question of the day, obviously, playing at TCF whatever field, was Tom Brady, as he got out there, was he able to find the play clock and the various things he'll need to use during a game at an unfamiliar facility?
I have a feeling that there's a little snarkiness in that remark.
No, me snarky?
No. I would never.
It's in all seriousness,
better than vulgar. He was dropping F bombs earlier.
I did.
Yeah, the play clock is actually a very prominently featured in both end zones, right behind the goal post. So it's very easy to find where that is. That shouldn't be a problem.
Is it a? Is it a nice place? You like the place? What's your initial?
I do. I really do. I mean, for a college stadium, it's very nice. There are sections. It's kind of like the old Foxborough in the sense that there are some seats with backs on them and some that are just aluminum benches with no backs. So for the fans, that's a little awkward. But it's a beautiful place. The press box is actually better than a lot of the press boxes in the NFL.
Wow.
So I'll give it that. It's a pretty nice spread and a nice location, nice view, gorgeous day. It's a good day for football. It's a crisp, autumn-like feel. So I'm hoping for some good football on the field.
Wow.
Well, the word is the home locker room there, Eric, is the largest in all of football, both collegiate and pro.
I heard that. Unfortunately, we'll be in the visitors' one, so who knows how
it's Buffalo
how
Bills like
that will be. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
All right, Eric.
It's a nice facility.
Before we let you go, is Jackie listening in? I haven't heard her chime in like she did last week.
Yes.
Hi, Jackie.
But you have to understand, what she's listening is on a delay, so she's hearing me talk, and then she'll hear me say what I just said about 5 seconds from now.
Now, is that on a delay?
I can't read.
Is that due to the latency of the internet?
Can't read?
Or the latency of her own brain?
No, the latency of the internet.
How y'all two doing?
Y'all two have fun at the game now and enjoy TCF.
Sorry.
TCF.
See ya. Sorry.
All right, guys.
All right, Eric. That's the end of that interview.
I butchered that, so I'm going to do it again.
What's the matter?
It always just gets creepy when we go to the Jackie Britton stuff.
Jackie is a strong member of the Patriots.com coverage unit.
It's not about Jackie.
She's now a strong member of Patriots.com radio.
Yeah, she does. She's part of the Bob Sosi show.
I'm not talking about Jackie.
Oh.
That's not the creepy part.
Jackie seems like a fine individual who does very, very good work.
Okay.
That's not the creepy part.
Okay.
Let's go to Max in San Diego. Hey, Max.
What's going on, fellas?
I don't know. I was feeling good about this game until Eric was talking about Patrick Chung and Jordan Devy. He really drags everything down.
Hey, he does it once in a while, man. But, you know, y'all work with him, so you might as well get used to it.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten used to it.
That's a good point.
Damn. Okay.
I hear you, bro.
Well,
Damn.
I'm going to invite you again to San Diego when you get the chance to come out here for the Pats Chargers game. We all want to see you, our entire fan club. We're trying to get the Orange County fan club to come down here. So we can combine and pack this place.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the only problem is I think when Paul and I are out there, we might not be out there for game day. We're only going to be out there during the work week.
So you'll be out here Saturday then?
No, the work week.
No.
Run-up?
Okay. Yeah, I think we're going to be out there Monday to Friday for practice coverage, but that could change. Who knows? We would love to get together with you. We're big fans.
We'd love to have you. We're big fans of you guys.
Well,
you guys want to come out.
Are you a big fan of the game today?
Are you kidding me? Are you serious right now? Are you kidding me? Hell yeah. Come on now.
I don't know. I felt really good about this game, and then, you know, Paul talked about it. We had Chester, who's generally very excitable, didn't seem overly excited, and then Eric's dragging me down with all, as I said, this talk of Devy and Malcolm Butler and Patrick Chung and...
Well, I was a little bit more worried about the Deontay Skinner.
Deontay Skinner, sure.
And the fact that they're evidently going to continue with the 3-4.
Yeah.
I don't like the 3-4 either. I really don't, to tell you honest to God truth.
And it sounds like Chandler Jones is going to be one of the ends in the 3-4 again. Because they had Ninkovich and Hightower as the outside linebackers in base. So
well, the thing you can always
that worries me
about the base.
The thing you can always count on Bill to be is consistent as hell when he wants to be. He's stubborn, am I right?
Yes.
No. I mean, yes.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, he is stubborn, but he's also good. You know, and as much as we get mad at him for being stubborn, as Fred would say, yeah, he's stubborn, 12-4, AFC title game. And I'm not sure there'll be a lot of sniffing going on if they're 0-2.
Getting reports about Logan Ryan starting at corner, not Kyle Arrington.
Max, thanks for the call. Appreciate you checking in. Andrew in the Ukraine emailed in, wanted to get his points. His connection wasn't good earlier. He apologized about that.
Not a problem. We understand. Across the pond, you know, things can get a little out of whack.
But he is, first he was calling to plug a new idea for PFW, that there should be a new segment early in the week where everyone tries to predict what crazy, unforeseen personnel loss will benefit the Patriots in the next game. Because it seems to happen many weeks, going back to when the Patriots faced 7 backup quarterbacks. Did that happen? 7 in a row?
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Was it 7?
Maybe 3.
See, I don't know if it was in a row. Paul probably said, you know, like when they faced 7 backup quarterbacks, and people take that as gospel.
Do you not remember that year, Tyler Palco?
Yes, I do, but I think I would have remembered 7 in a row.
I didn't say in a row. They faced 7 backup quarterbacks in a season. That's like
why is he yelling at me?
Because that's not like something that the poor emailer
he's
made
upset
up.
About something.
He's angry.
That really happened.
He also writes, also when we used to lose bad games like Cleveland or Arizona, the Fire Bill Brigade, I can't get that word out.
Brigade.
Fire Bill Brigade.
You still can't, so don't use it. Posse.
Fire Bill Posse. Brigade was only represented by what we considered a few wingnuts. There was never this groundswell that we saw after last week. The overall talent on this team has gone down steadily since Parcells' players have started to retire, and I don't think that this is a team that is talented enough to win a Super Bowl. As you noticed, the most notable member of the Elite Sunshine Club is down on them. It's not looking good.
Hmm. To me, he brings up that Cleveland game. To me, the most disappointing thing about last week is it wasn't... It wasn't big play led. It wasn't, you know, these huge mistakes where you fumble a kickoff and a guy catches it or, you know, these ridiculous turnovers. You just got beat. You just got flat out beat. And that hurts. That hurts to me more than a debacle like Cleveland where it was just a debacle and you got Eric Mangini and Brian Daboll just laughing it up and running trick plays and, you know, stupid stuff happening with kickoffs, short kickoffs. There was none of that. You just got your pass rushers beat our pass protectors. Your running backs and offensive linemen beat our run stuffers. It was just ugly ass whooping.
One final email before we check on out. It says, hey guys, it doesn't matter
how
upgraded the secondary may be. But when the linebackers can't cover anyone, 3-yard swing passes turn into 10-plus yard gains every time. If a team has a decent short to medium passing game, it kills us every time. The linebackers, combined with a non-existent pass rush, make it so hard for the D to get off the field. P.S. Still waiting for Mayo to make the first big play of his career. Making 200 tackles a year, 6 yards downfield, isn't helping.
Kraft Tony, and Mayo go together.
Tony and Acton, Maine. He's very down on the defense.
He had a sack last week.
He is a little bit down, and he did have a sack last week, as predicted here on the Patriots pregame social. I also want to point out, everybody, the reduns, well, the secondary's not that good if it starts Patrick Chung and Malcolm Butler, or Patrick Chung and Kyle Arrington. You know, there was nothing more overrated this summer than the Patriots' retooled secondary, half of which you didn't know who was going to start, and you didn't really like some of the options to start.
I made the comment.
Revis is really good. That doesn't make the other three positions great.
You had a really good starting left cornerback, and you upgraded to an excellent one. That's it. That's your retooled secondary.
Patriots, Vikings, who will be in that secondary today? Alfonso Dennard out. Looks like it could be Logan Ryan. We'll watch the game. We'll dissect the game. And we'll be back here after the
game. We will indeed watch the game. I promise.
We will be watching. Yes, well, all of you. And we'll be back right as this game ends, right here on Patriots.com radio with the Xbox One post-game show. We will all make a return after this one. Thanks for tuning in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. For Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, I'm Mark Bertrand. We'll see you when this one's over.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Pats take on the Minnesota Vikings.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side. Headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, immediately following the game.
Two receivers, left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop, looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.